Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, the Titans have an open offensive coordinator position. How attractive do you think that job is to OCs or prospective OCs around the league?
Oh, I think it's really attractive. Listen, these jobs are hard to get. And so you think about this 32, NFL head coaching jobs. Some of these positions, some of the offensive coordinator positions are handled by the head coach. And so, there's not even 32 of these jobs on the planet. And it's the highest level of the game. And, while they're not all exactly the same in terms of, the situation you're walking into, they're attractive jobs for sure. And then I think that when you look at, some of the things that, are attractive about the situation here, there are some good players on the staff. The fact that you have a defensive-minded head coach, probably means that, you have full autonomy, in terms of what you're doing offensively. And so I think those are some of the things that are attractive.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, Rank Carthon brought in as the Titans' new general manager. And after his introductory press conference, I think everyone's really excited about the future under Rank Carthon. But one word that he, Mike Vrabel, owner Amy Adams Strunk says over and over and over again is collaboration. That those three are all, reporting to one another, that they're going to make decisions hand in hand. How do you think a franchise can operate that way when there's not a clear delegation of power, but more so collaboration, to use their word?
Yeah, I think that I think it can work from the standpoint of, even if you're not saying it publicly, like the way I read it was Mike Vrabel's in charge. I mean, that's how I read it. And, I think one of the best things that you can have out of a general manager is low ego, because you evaluate players, and then at some point you're turning them over to the coaching staff. And so, I think rather than feeling like you deserve the credit, rather than you feel like, guys aren't delivering on, the talent that you may be drafted, I think the willingness to just to be able to turn it over and kind of put the ego aside, I think is probably a bigger factor than, hey, who does everyone think has the final say on somebody? And so I think that I believe that Mike Vrabel ultimately, like if he wants a player, he's going to keep a player, that type of thing. I mean, that's how I expect it to happen. That being said, I don't think that he is necessarily going to take the approach of, hey, I have to make every decision. Like, I am going to trust people that are here to do their job. So, that's how I see it. I mean, I just look around the league at, like, look at John Schneider and Pete Carroll. Like, John Schneider's the general manager. I think a lot of people think that he's got a lot of influence. But I think a lot of people also believe that Pete Carroll ultimately is making the final decision. I don't think anyone has, overtly said that that's the case. And I think, Andy Reid's been involved in similar circumstances, in regards to that. I think, how it works certain places, I think, is I think it's similar to how I think it's going to end up happening here with the Titans.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN and NFL analyst. Now, Tim, with that being said, because typically when that happens, whether it's an Andy Reid or a Pete Carroll, those guys have Super Bowls under their belt or Super Bowl appearances under their belt. So you can more or less, you trust that, them having – complete autonomy over everything. You trust that. But Vrabel doesn't have that. So ultimately, if things, I look at it from this standpoint, okay, if you want to give Vrabel, quote unquote, the power, well, this is your season, Vrabel, to make sure we see some change within this team. Because if we don't see any change, then you've already got rid of the OC, you got rid of the O-line coach, we got a new GM. I mean, you're the last person in line now. I mean, so do we look to you now in regards to making moves with the head coach?
No doubt. You absolutely do. And that's why I think, like, I'll give you a couple other examples. like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Like that's a collaboration then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. And so, you know, if they don't win, yeah, like it's going to end up coming down to them. None of they've had success, and obviously Kyle's done a good job. Look at Buffalo. You know, I think there's a similar situation going on in Buffalo. Like now maybe McDermott doesn't always have the final say, but I think a lot of people understand his influence is high. And so if that's the case, like they don't win, like, yeah, ultimately, you know, it comes back down to you. I think teammates, what happens is, mm-hmm. you know, guys get an opportunity to coach. They get into a situation where, you know, they don't, you know, have as, you know, their fingerprints aren't on the personnel as much as they would like it to be. They get a better feel for the job in terms of what it's like to be a head coach and what are the responsibilities and then what their responsibilities could be in terms of personnel. And they look at it and they say, you know what, like if I'm going to go down, like I'm going to go down at least doing it like with my guys. and I can't fault people for that and for trying to you know, get the players that they want for that reason. So, because ultimately, like, look, if you're going to not make it as a head coach and you're going to not make it with players that you wouldn't have chosen, like that's a bad way to lose a great opportunity.
Now, explain to us, or at least to our listeners, how difficult it is being an OC in this league or a DC, because I think people look at it just from the standpoint of, can he put together a game plan? And I sat here and said, listen, I think every OC in the National Football League can put together a game plan, because you get help from everybody, the O-line coach, the tight end coach, receiver coach, running backs coach, to put together a game plan you feel is best for this game. But what separates the good ones from the great ones is the ability to be able to then call that game plan in the game, knowing, having a great feel for the game. That's why I believe Andy Reid is so good. Kyle Shanahan. You can go down a list of people you thought were great play callers, not because necessarily they put a game plan together, because they knew how to call that game plan and when to call it.
Yeah, I think there's a couple aspects of this. I think first, you have your base stuff you run all the time, right? Stuff that you installed, you know, right as, you know, you start training camp. But then I also think that there are, you know, certain specific game plan plays to attack what you're expecting to get. So I think there's a creativity that's needed in terms of being able to watch somebody's defense and then say, okay, this is how I think they're going to defend us. These are some new wrinkles that we are going to have that are to attack that. So, like, to your point, like, just think about Kansas City this past weekend. Like, look at Chad Henne throws a touchdown pass to Travis Kelce because they're trying to get Travis Kelce open. There's an understanding that Travis Kelce is going to be played man, may even be getting doubled, which he was on his first touchdown catch. And you still design a play. You're creative enough to get him open anyway. Or, you know, you look at Kyle Shanahan and things that he does in the run game to get an extra gap or an extra hat in the run game. And so I think there's play designing as an offensive coordinator and a staff. Then there's, you know, the offensive coordinator role of installing it, getting your players to understand it, doing it in a way that the terminology and verbiage is something that guys can understand and they're not going to make a mistake. And then exactly what you were saying of, okay, now dial it up in the game at the right time. Dialed up when you need it to happen. And then there's this other aspect of it, which is, okay, and empower your quarterback to be able to make an adjustment at the line of scrimmage if he can get you to something else. So at the NFL level, I think there are so many facets to that where, you know, the offensive coordinator has to have all this control but be willing to let somebody else change things at the line of scrimmage, teach that guy to do a good job with it so that you can run good plays at the right time.
So what does the future hold for a couple of quarterbacks in the league? We'll get into that with Tim Hasselbeck coming up next. It's Caroline Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Leaving everybody guessing. You said you'll take your time. Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to fucking do, I'd have already fucking done it. Okay? I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching.
It's only the question scratchy. That everybody wants to hear.
You're scratchy. I appreciate your asking.
There you go. The clip heard round the football world. That was Tom Brady and Jim Gray on the Let's Go podcast of the SiriusXM Podcast Network. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, is with us. What did you make of Brady's comments there?
That was a little weird because it was his podcast. Right? He's been on with Jim Gray doing that for, you know, I guess he used to do these interviews on Westwood One for Monday Night Football for a while now. So to, I guess, respond that way, I think, I don't know, it's surprising, just kind of like a weird agitation for Brady. I mean, and you know that you're going to get asked it. In fact, any time he does an interview that he doesn't have completely scripted, he's going to get asked it. So I think it's been a hard year for Brady, you know, for obvious reasons. And, you know, I think sometimes you're just seeing the frustration come through.
And another quarterback that could potentially have a new spot in 2023, Aaron Rodgers. There's been grumblings. Adam Schefter reported that the Packers could be in on a trade for Aaron Rodgers. Where do you think is the most likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers in 2023?
I think two potential landing spots, you know, for Aaron would be, I would say Las Vegas. I think that, you know, that's, they obviously, you know, made a decision to kind of open that one up. I think the Jets would maybe be the other one. And, you know, I thought for a little bit that the Niners could have been in play, you know, once again, but with how things have gone with the Niners, you know, I don't see that as a potential landing spot. And so those would be the two places I think the potential, you know, vacancies that I think Aaron would like, you know, because ultimately Aaron's going to have a say in it as well. So that's how I would see it. I would also say this. I've in the past maintained that the best spot for Aaron was Green Bay. I think that's less so the case now. And so I do think there's probably a better shot that he's moved than that he stays in the same spot.
Who's a dark horse team, you think? Because this is the same thing with Tom Brady a few years ago, and then all of a sudden Tampa comes out and they end up being a team.
Yeah, I think, you know, a team that, you know, I didn't mention would maybe be Indianapolis potentially. I wouldn't, you know, if you don't ask me that question, I wouldn't list Indianapolis, you know, in a mix there. Here's the deal. Aaron's going to want to go to a good team. I mean, that's plain and simple. He wants to go somewhere that has a good roster. And I don't – if he wanted to kind of I guess what I would say is he has to think that the situation, wherever he goes, is better than Green Bay. I mean, that's ultimately it. He's in an offense that he's mastered in Green Bay. He knows the talent level of the players on both sides of the ball in Green Bay. And so if you're going to leave and go somewhere else, it needs to be to a team that you think is maybe better off than Green Bay is. And I think those are hard to find.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, we were talking, the three of us, yesterday on the show, just how impressive that performance was by Cincinnati when you consider basically for 60 minutes they controlled the game. They also had a couple of big swing calls go against them on very debatable reviews. The catch by Ja'Marr Chase in the end zone. The fumble that all the Titans fans are going, wait a minute. That was an incomplete pass, but Josh Dobbs was with the fumble. Yeah. But they both went against Cincinnati, and they still dominated the game. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, let me take a quick detour on that. It was called a fumble on the field. So the fact that that was overturned is insane. It's absolutely insane that it was turned over. Now, listen, had you called it an incompletion, listen, I think there'd still be people that disagree. But the fact that you need indisputable evidence to overturn something and it was ruled a fumble on the field makes no sense. But then to answer your question, yeah, that was pure domination. I mean, they dominated that football game start to finish. And I know one of the things people talked about leading up to the game, something I talked about, three backup offensive linemen going into a hostile environment and starting that football game and to dominate it up front the way they did was also really impressive. So, based on what I saw from Cincinnati last weekend in Buffalo, it's one of the reasons I've actually picked them to go to Kansas City and win, considering the Mahomes injury and what his mobility may look like. I was that impressed with Cincinnati that I think they're going to end up being the AFC representative.
Well, and with that in mind, let's get your thoughts on the challenge the Chiefs have here. We, here in this market, as you know, we talked about high ankle sprains for a long time with Ryan Tannehill and him trying to deal with it. We saw him miss time. We saw him try to manage, even though it was very clear that his mobility was compromised even after, you know, weeks and weeks after he injured it. So this is, I mean, I thought it was a curious way of saying it, Andy Reid. We're preparing as if he's going to play, but how do you look at it now? Is it a certainty that he's going to play? I mean, I know he's going to try, but this looks like a very big, challenging thing for Patrick Mahomes, given how much he likes to move around back there.
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. We saw last week he can play effectively if he were, like, as if he were a guy that had no mobility, right? So think about quarterbacks in this league that, you know, aren't good scramblers. There have been a ton of them. And Patrick's good enough that he can play that way as well, right? And so with that being said, yeah, I think they, you know, tape his ankle up in a way and get him ready enough to play that we'll see him, you know, under center, or at least behind center. But I think the difference in facing Cincinnati versus, like, what we saw last weekend is Cincinnati can rush the passer. Like, Trey Hendrickson's a really good pass rusher. DJ Reader can win right away. And then they've got a good blitz package where they fool you and surprise you. So because of that, that's a different animal than what Kansas City has seen before. And so, you know, pressure on the quarterback when the quarterback can't move is, I think, a much different challenge for Kansas City now.
On the other side, in the NFC, I know there's going to be so much talk about where the Cowboys go from here with Dak Prescott, et cetera. You know, the weight of a quarterback who is talented but does not have the postseason success, it's got to be a very big weight, as we've talked about with Ryan Tannehill. So take us through that, in that market in particular. This is going to be a tough summer for Dak Prescott, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. Talking about Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys rates everywhere. It's just, that's how it works. So it rates on every network all year round. And so that's going to be the conversation, even if it's made up conversation. And so it's going to follow you. It's just going to be part of, you know, what you have to avoid and deal with. And so that'll be the case for Dak. And I would just say this in terms of, like, what Dallas does. Here's really what I believe. I think there are, I don't know, I mean, call them five quarterbacks that, you know, we're going to look at and say, you know, they don't have, or I don't want to say, like, postseason blemishes, but, like, that you can say, yep, totally trust that guy in the postseason, right? So you're going to say that about Patrick Mahomes, probably. You're going to say that, you know, people have said that about Tom Brady, although, you know, that will start to change now. You'll say that about, I don't know.
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, yes. Then you start to be like, well, yeah, I mean, I think so, but I'm not sure. Maybe Aaron Rodgers fits in that mix, but he probably does not. So now you go down the list. That's every other quarterback now. So I don't care if it's, you know, Jalen Hurts, unless he has success, or if it's what Jimmy Garoppolo's done in the past, or what Kirk Cousins has done, or what Justin Herbert has done, or, like, that's going to be the how everybody, or Josh Allen, for that matter. That's how people are going to talk about all these other quarterbacks. Dak Prescott is in that mix. Ryan Tannehill is in that mix. And so that's just that's everybody else. So what Dallas does, I mean, look, unless you can get one of these other guys that everybody sees as perfect or as a, you know, just a guy with, you know, ice water in his veins in the postseason, that's your quarterback. And that's okay. You have to try to win with him. That's how this works now. And, you know, the difference for Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott is that, you know, talking about the Chargers on, you know, nationally isn't something that people are going to do off season, where they are going to talk about, you know, the Dallas Cowboys. And so if Jalen Hurts slips up, we'll talk about him as well.
It's like being a player for the Yankees or being a player for
the Seattle Mariners.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to get talked about most in the offseason if it doesn't work?
It's not even close.
The Yankees.
Yeah.
And that's why people say, like, I remember talking to Ian Book, the former quarterback for Notre Dame, his last year at Notre Dame. And they kind of say at Notre Dame, like, listen, if you're going to be the quarterback at Notre Dame, it's kind of like playing for the Yankees. It's one of those spots where, like, everyone's going to be talking about you. And it's a massive amount of pressure. Like, the kid did not look like he was having fun at the time. And I'm like, man, you're starting quarterback in Notre Dame. You should be enjoying this more. But the pressure of it can take some of the joy out of it, for sure.
All right, great stuff, Tim. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you.
All right, see you guys.
Yep.
All right, thanks. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Coming up next, D-Maze has a theory within the Titans front office organization. We'll explain coming up next. Caroline Riley, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What do you think of Brian Tannehill, and is he your quarterback?
I don't think that's fair. At this point, we're still evaluating the roster. I am. You know, and that's going to take further conversations with me and Mike. Ryan has been great here. He's won a lot of football games, and I look forward to us winning football games. But I still need more time, you know, to evaluate and make those decisions. As you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and people are hired and fired every day over that position. So we want to – I want to spend more time evaluating that position, so I'll have my own opinion, and Mike and I will confer and figure it out.
There you go. That was Rand Carthon when asked about Ryan Tannehill. One foot in, one foot out. Not totally committal. But D-Maze, you texted us last night, and you have a theory about Ryan Tannehill and the front office.
Yeah, because of the way that Rand sort of answered that question. He was definitive when asked about the running game, Derrick Henry. He was definitive. Why? Because I believe that everybody that's in that building is on the same page with Derrick Henry. He's the guy from the defense. They know it. Offense know it. Everybody that's walking through that building understands that Derrick Henry is the guy. But I don't think everybody walks through that building thinking Ryan Tannehill is the guy. And I think it's between two people. And Rand, I believe, is sort of the tiebreaker. And I don't know which one of these people believe in him or not. I think it's between the head coach and the owner. And Rand has to evaluate it. If you listen to him, he says, I need to evaluate and then concur with the head coach. Mm-hmm. So somebody's in here that possibly wants a new quarterback, and somebody believes that Ryan Tannehill can get them where they need to go. Which one is it? Is it the owner that wants a new quarterback, but she's not going to, like, say, hey, I want a new quarterback? She can do that because she's the owner, but she's not going to do that because then that causes a rift between everybody. The head coach could be, hey, I think Tannehill is the guy. We just got to surround people. He said it. We just got to be a greater ground. If we surround people, put people around Ryan Tannehill, do the things that we needed to do and we should have done around Ryan Tannehill, he will be okay. Now, Rand, you are the guy that tips the scale either way. You go in, you evaluate him, and you tell us what you think. Should we move on from Ryan Tannehill, or should we try to go out and get another quarterback via the draft or free agency?
My only thing is, I have to imagine that question was 1A on their list of questions when they interviewed general managers. So was it Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk disagreed on Ryan Tannehill? Rand Carthon had a plan laid out of how he wants to move forward with the quarterback position, whether that's with Ryan Tannehill, whether it's without Ryan Tannehill, whatever the plan is, and they thought, okay, we like that idea? Because I have to think that he was hired partly because they are all on the same page about where this franchise is going, the direction which this franchise is going, and the franchise's direction goes with the quarterback.
It hinges on who's underneath center. I guarantee.
But let me ask you guys this. Uh-huh. You're in his chair. Uh-huh. You get asked that question. You know that question's coming. Mm-hmm. And you know it's coming more than once, mm-hmm. right? You're going to do the big press conference. Then you're going to do several interviews with the television stations, mm-hmm. with the national radio stations, with the local radio stations like we just heard. Mm-hmm. So you got to have your answer ready, right? This is a first-time GM. Would you guys have answered that any differently than he
No.
did?
I think that's the way he answered it in the interviews.
No, like, well, what I'm saying, like, I think that was the smart answer.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it was the smart answer.
Unless it was a no-brainer and you knew it was going to mm-hmm. be Tannehill and you're ready to say that, which I don't think you are.
I think it
might be
that.
80%. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we all sit here going, the most likely scenario is they circle back and stay with him. But you don't know what's going to happen, say, in San Francisco. You don't know what Aaron Rodgers is doing. There's going to be some dominoes that we don't know mm-hmm. are going to happen. So to me, there's no other way to answer that question right now. And if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I think I have to understand that. It can't be a shot at him. His ankle is a thing, right? How's he going to look when he is fully healed? What's his mobility this coming season as opposed to what we saw in the previous season, which was a big tool for him? His escapability, his smartness of how he runs the ball, is that going to be compromised going forward? These are all things that I think a GM first day on the job, you know, you can't answer all of these things right now. So the smart answer is the way he said it.
Yeah, and I have no gripes with the way that he answered the question. Mm-mm. To your point, I think that's how I expected him to answer it. I don't know how any different you would answer it unless all three of them were go team go, let's go Ryan Tannehill, woohoo. But I think that the point being, I don't think that's how he answered the question in the interview. Mm-hmm. Because if he went into the interview and they said, who do you think should be our quarterback in 2023? What's your plan at quarterback? And he said, you know, I'm going to have to meet Ryan and mm-hmm. see what kind of guy he is yep. first
Which
and
is
get
smart.
Into the building. Mm-hmm. I don't think he could have answered it that way.
But if you listen to just not necessarily listen to what he said in regards to that, but he also said after that, I know this is a quarterback-driven league, and you get hired and fired if you don't have that quarterback, which tells me they discuss the quarterback situation. In that room, if all of them were on the same page in regards to keeping him, he would have said, hey, Ryan's our quarterback, mm-hmm. and we're going to move forward with Ryan. I don't think everybody in that room was on the same page with Ryan. I don't think it was 100% definitive. So as a new GM, I got to come in, and if that question is asked of me, I'm saying, listen, I know that in order to win a Super Bowl in this league or have a shot at winning one, you got to have that franchise quarterback. I don't know what y'all may think about Ryan. I need to evaluate him, and then I can better tell you if I believe he's the guy moving forward, or should we try to go out and look for someone else or try to get a quarterback via the draft. But I do think there's a different opinion in that building in regards to Ryan Tannehill. I think there are some people that believe, okay, yeah, we can do it with him. And I think there are some people that think, it's about time to move on. He was great for us for the three or four years he was here, but it's time to move on now.
Another thing, too, that they have to decide is what's our cap situation, right? Mm-hmm. Who are we moving on from? How much cap space can we create to give ourselves some flexibility, some options, right? We don't know the answer to that right now. Mm-hmm. So I would guess that if I'm in those discussions, I don't think you're interviewing Rand Carthon and saying, what would you do? You tell me what you'd do right now. I think you're saying, what do you see the options? From where you're sitting, how do you evaluate Ryan Tannehill? You don't know him yet. We can tell you how we feel about him. We can tell you what his situation health-wise is and where we think that's going. Like, there's an education process mm-hmm. that you got to have. You're an information gatherer, I think, if you're Rand Carthon. So I think all you can do is say, okay, here's where I am coming from. This is how I look at the quarterback market. Right now, here's why I see Ryan Tannehill at this stage of his career. Here's my experience in San Francisco, where we had some pretty interesting quarterback things go down in the last 3 or 4 years, right? He saw a lot at that position in that spot. Mm-hmm. Here's how we handled it. So I don't know if you have to have your answer today, but I think you have to have your strategy, present how you will approach it if you get this job. It's a really interesting question. We would all love to hear how that interview went, right, when that question came up.
And it had to have been, I'm sure, a big part of the interview is the philosophy. Maybe you don't say, oh, I want this guy, I want XYZ, but the philosophy of it. Well, you bring up the cap. I think whatever the Titans want to do as far as the cap is concerned, they can make work. Any team in the league can make the cap work. But the big question is the money. So how is the money involved?
Does it cost you other players that you would like to have? Like, how much of it is worth it if you're going to put a big chunk
But
down
is Amy willing to spend the money?
It's how much money the owner is willing to spend. If they want to keep everybody, I think they'll find a way to keep everybody. You're going to have to, you know, pay dividends down the road eventually. I don't know when that day comes. But, you know, if they want to keep every single player on this roster, they can find a way to do it. How much is Amy Adams Strunk willing to whip out a check and sign her name on it for? That's the question. So that's what I want to get into coming up next is if there is somebody, your theory, D-Mace, between Rand Carthon or Mike Vrabel or Amy Adams Strunk that is defending Ryan Tannehill to be the quarterback of the future, why? We'll get into that. And, of course, your text coming up next, 615-737-1025. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
From your perspective, what is it about Rand that's going to make this collaboration work?
Well, I just believe in his history. I believe in where he's been, in his pedigree, and what he believes about making relationships. You know, it's coach's job is to teach, develop, and inspire through making a connection with the player. And that can't change whether it's where we bring him in or making connections with his staff or my staff. You know, it's different. It's different than where it was 20 years ago when he played or when I played. I mean, it just is. Paul, I know it's January and you're still going to interrupt me, but I'm just trying to answer the question that we have to be able to get to know these guys and what they go through and the people in our building. And when you stop and you ask how somebody's doing, you have to be willing to stand there and listen to them instead of just walking by. And that starts with me and remembering that, not just walking by and say, hey, how you doing today? It's like, no. If you're going to willing to ask the question, stop, stand there, and figure out how you can help.
I'm so glad that we could fit in a little Vrabel jab in that return there. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tomorrow night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures. And the Preds player guests tonight will be Nino Niederreiter and Ryan McDonough. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. So, D-Mace, you have a theory, simply just a theory, that there is somebody within the trio of the powers that be, between Amy Adams Strunk, Mike Vrabel, and Rand Carthon, that are vouching for Ryan Tannehill to be the starting quarterback for next year. So, I could think about it. Okay, what would be the motive for any of those three to keep Ryan Tannehill or want to move on from Ryan Tannehill? I think the most obvious being, Amy Adams Strunk would want to hold on to Ryan Tannehill, because she doesn't want to write that $18 million check. Because it would be, if you move on from Ryan Tannehill and you cut Ryan Tannehill, you owe him $18 million again in dead cap money. So if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, I'm saying, look, I don't think Ryan Tannehill was the problem this past year. Let's hold on to him. He can be our starter in 2023 because I don't want to dish out that cash. I think that's the most obvious.
I mean, yeah, she can do that. But she also, I think also you can be or think, okay, keeping Ryan, but we do have to get our quarterback of the future. We do have to, because, you know, Rand said it. Listen, people get hired, people get, you know, fired if they don't eventually have that guy in place that can win them games. The length of an individual's stay at a particular place when it comes to head coaches and GMs is all predicated mainly on that quarterback position. If you have that quarterback solidified, it's more likely that you keep your job longer than you don't. If you don't have that quarterback in play, then people around the building start losing their jobs. So I would have to think if that is indeed the case, somebody in that building between the, I'm not going to say three because Rand hasn't, you know, done his due diligence on Ryan Tannehill. He probably knows some things from afar just watching him, but really getting in depth in the film and everything. But out of the two, there's somebody that's thinking, man, we're going to have to get a quarterback. And there's somebody that's thinking, well, maybe we can wait a year or two before we really pull it, you know, pull that lever to get that quarterback. And Rand, I believe, is the guy that ultimately is going to be the deciding factor on whether they go get him this year or next year, or they just stay with Ryan until something better comes on along down the line. But even in doing that, you got to understand that if you don't win and Ryan is still a quarterback, if it wasn't the owner that made that decision to keep him, if it wasn't her and it was the head coach, then we got a problem if this thing doesn't work out right. Somebody's gone.
Well, see, this is an interesting thing with the dynamic that you're bringing up, Caroline, that up until they fired John Robinson, I would not have thought Amy Adams Strunk was in any of these decisions.
Yeah.
I would have thought that she was the profile of an owner of, look, I'm owning the team, I'm looking out for the business, but the football stuff, I put in your hands. I have a coach that I've hired. I've got a GM I've hired. You guys find the players. I'll provide the salaries, and we go from there. I would have thought she was out.
I agree.
Now, the other end of the spectrum is what? A Jerry Jones or even a Jim Irsay that will come out of the sky and say, "Up, Carson Wentz is not my quarterback. I don't care what you think, my coach. I don't care what you think, my GM. Get him out of here.
He's bonkers.
We're getting another guy." And hey, we're changing coaches. You know what? I'm bringing in Jeff Saturday. I don't care what you guys think. He's my guy, and I'm the owner. I don't care what you guys think. I would not have thought Amy Adams did that, but she went public. She said, "I made the decision with John Robinson. I'll take her at her word." I don't know. Like, we were all wondering, did Mike Vrabel go in there and knock on her door and said, "You know what? I'd like to make." I don't think that happened. I do think it was Amy Adams that made the decision on that. So now, is she out? Like, to me, I think this would be a great time for her to say, "Look, I've just hired a new guy. I made the change I wanted to make. You guys figure out the quarterback." But it does make you wonder, does she have an opinion on Ryan Tannehill? And this is the real thing that you're asking, is the money part of it. Are there any restrictions? Because this is what Rand Carthon needs to know. Are there any restrictions on salary bonuses? Or, you know, do we have the full ability with cash flow to do what anything we want to do? Or are there some restrictions with how we can approach it? Because
sure
there was that line that came out in that Jeffrey Simmons article, something to the effect of, "We don't have the money right now to pay you what you're worth." There was something to that effect that had everybody going, "Okay, what's going on there?"
But she has to have an opinion on her quarterback. She has to, whether she likes him or not. But she's not going to, whether she likes Ryan Tannehill or not, and maybe, you know, the question just hadn't been asked of her. But I don't think she would come out and say, you know, "I don't want him here," or "He's definitively our quarterback," until Rand sort of makes his evaluation of him. She has,
makes
I'm sure she has in her mind, like, whether it's for him or against him, she has a opinion on Ryan Tannehill. But she wants to wait until Rand does his job. And then together, do we agree, you know, is two agreeing and one not on keeping him, or is two agreeing on one not at moving on from him?
But if you guys were owning a team, would you guys want to be in those? Like, if I
I would.
If you owned a football team, you're a football player. So that I mean, you have
nobody comes to my quarterback.
If you owned a chess team, right? Let's just say, would you say, "Look, I don't know anything about chess. I want to have a great chess team, though. So I'm hiring the best people that know about chess to make these decisions. I'm out. I don't want any part of this." Like, if I'm weighing in, "Hey, I thought you should have moved your king there. I thought you should have taken the bishop." You know, the coach is going to be, "Why? Get out of here. You don't know anything about this game." So, you know what I mean? Like, that's a decision the owner has to make. You have every right to jump in there and make decisions because you own the team.
Yeah.
But is that the smartest thing, though?
And I think it comes down to, because she might have her mind made up about Ryan Tannehill, but she might say, "I'm putting up $500 million for this stadium. I'm not dishing out $20 million almost to cut this quarterback so I can write another check to another quarterback." She has every right to say that, too. And I don't know if she's going to approach it like that. She might say, "Give me a number. I don't care. I'll get whatever it takes to get my guy." I don't know how she's going to approach it. But if she did say, "I'm putting my foot down, Tannehill's fine. We'll go out and find our quarterback of the future at some point, whether that's in the draft this year, that quarterback sits, or we find another one because we don't have the quarterback that we've fallen in love with yet. She could say, I don't want the money. And I think it comes down to how willing is she to write the check? Mm-hmm. And two, who else are you going to go get? Because you can make up your mind that, look, Ryan Tannehill, he's not our quarterback of the future. He's not going to get us to a Super Bowl. They may have already decided that. But it's when you decide to move on from him. Mm-hmm. Because if there's not a guy in this year's draft that they look at and say, oh, my goodness, quarterback of the future. That's our guy. If there is, go get him. Do whatever it takes. Trade the picks, whatever it takes. But if they don't find that guy and they do run it back with Ryan Tannehill, I don't know if it's necessarily a stamp of approval for Ryan Tannehill, but rather a, we'll stick with our guy who has been fine, and then we'll go out and find our other quarterback. Because I'm sure they're looking at the 2024 draft as well.
Yeah, they got to be looking at all of that. But I want to believe that because things have been different around that building since she's taken over. So I want to sort of lean on the side of she's found out enough information or went and did her due diligence on not necessarily how this team operates, because I'm sure she understands how the team from a macro sense operates. But I think she really got down in sort of in the trenches of the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. Not everybody else. She doesn't need to know really about it. She needs to know about her quarterback because her quarterback is essential to her franchise. And if you have a quarterback, i.e., Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh, if you have that quarterback, that's a lot less stress you got to worry about. So I just got to believe that she went all in. Like, I'm going to learn about this position, like, because this position is essential. It's sort of like a pitcher. You got to have those pitchers. We got to have our quarterback.
And I think, too, beyond that, she's a businesswoman. You know, she's the owner of this team. If Vrabel and Rand Carthon are coming up to her and saying, Will Levis is our quarterback of the future. Mm-hmm. He's our Joe Burrow, our Josh Allen. He is our Patrick Mahomes. You know, whatever your opinion on Will Levis is, just using an example, then she'll say, okay, let's do it. I trust you. But it's making sure that she's aligned with the business side of things as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, there seems to be one player that dominates the rumor mill around this time of year. And he is right back in it. I'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.